Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Peter Liston, an Australian bloke who is very successful at playing progressive slot machines. He'll be sharing some of his secrets with us in a few minutes. The Gambler's Book Club, also known as a Gambler's Book Store, has been a Las Vegas institution for almost 50 years. Currently, they're on Eastern Avenue near Russell, but they seem to be in trouble with the County Zoning Commission. What do you know about this, Munch?
I don't know a lot, just that they're talking about trying to shut them down, which I think would just be a travesty. As you said, it's been an institution in Las Vegas for 50 years, and the whole thing just seems ludicrous to me.
Well, a month ago, I took some flyers by to flyers for my classes at South Point and asked if they could put them out so people come in could get it, and they of course said yes, and I signed some of my books that I had there. But I was there for about 20 minutes and no customer come in.
And last time I was there, I was the only customer in the place as well. So, but that's beside the point. Because from the article I read, it just seemed like this was some sort of bureaucratic, ridiculousness because they have more square footage or something than a retail business is supposed to have in that section of the street.
Yeah, it's going to need to be – they're going to need to get a variance, which is likely going to pass if they apply for it. But my point is that location isn't working for them. So even though they have copies of all these gambling books and it's a great idea, that location isn't working.
Well, I think a lot of their business is actually online. So people are ordering gambling books online out of that location. So that's true. Maybe it wouldn't matter. But I believe Avery Cardozo owns the Gambler's Book Club now. And
yes.
I believe he's also put in a television studio. I mean, I thought he
Right next door, there's a studio and pretty high tech.
So I'm sure he would hate to move out of that location entirely with what he's put into it.
I agree. In my Tuesday blog this week, which is on the Las Vegas Advisor website, I wrote about Maureen O'Connor, the ex-mayor of San Diego, who is said to have lost $1 billion playing video poker. The focus of my article was that she didn't lose nearly that much. It was in the millions, to be sure, but not a billion. If you hit an $800,000 royal flush and are behind $100,000 after doing so, I would call that a $100,000 loss. The newspapers are calling it a $900,000 loss. Figuring that way, you could say I've lost $40 to $50 million in playing video poker over the last 12 years. Although I'm convinced I'm ahead a couple million dollars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is there's a mathematician named John Paulos who wrote a book called Enumeracy, which is sort of the mathematical equivalent of illiteracy, and it's particularly rampant in the press. They just don't understand numbers at all. So this is just one more example of them not understanding math.
Well, generally speaking, it's good when casino employees often aren't any better at math than the general public, so that's good for players. But all in all, Ms. O'Connor's misfortune is not good news for the casinos or for the gamblers. She was not a sleazy politician caught up in an immoral sting operation. She was well-respected in San Diego. While she was mayor, she lived on the streets for a week to learn firsthand what it was like to be homeless. So she was well-liked, and she apparently has a gambling addiction problem. We've heard of people who lose everything at gambling, and it's easy for many to dismiss these gamblers as being foolish or stupid or greedy or some other pejorative term. But when it happens to a well-respected, intelligent person, somehow it's different. When states have hearing about whether or not to expand the number of casinos or go into online gambling, opponents use incidents like this to make their case that gambling is bad news. And even if Ms. O'Connor gets treatment and is able to successfully deal with her addiction problems, she will forever be a casebook example used by gambling opponents of how evil casinos are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's a shame when it happens, but I'd like to shift back to the innumeracy there for a minute. There was another incident in the news this week where a casino apparently had the wrong payouts for the game Crazy for Poker.
It wasn't the wrong payouts. It's just that you were not required to make all the bets. It was designed so that you had to make an ante, but then the super bet at the back. And the casinos, we won't make people make that bet. But it was such a loser bet that you had to make when you took that fourth bet away. That was a great for the players.
Right. And apparently they were three and four deep around the table. People were selling their seats for $200. Now, I didn't look to see what the game would be worth per hour, given what they were allowing. But it's amazing it lasted as long as it did. I'm surprised that the casino didn't just shut it down immediately.
So you didn't get a phone call in time to do anything about that?
I sure did not.
You need better friends.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Now, when we just a half hour ago, we were talking about the show, and Munch Rhett was reading something about Nevada legislature has passed online gambling.
So yeah, Nevada is the first state to pass it. It appears that it's just poker. And they have passed something that would allow them to manage poker in other states, but the other states are probably going to challenge that. It seemed there was a lot of spiking of the football, sort of laughing at New Jersey, saying, ha-ha, we did it first, which doesn't seem productive at all, but that was kind of the thrust of all the news stories that I saw.
Yeah, so about New Jersey, a couple weeks ago we were talking to Ken Adams, and Governor Christie had just vetoed the online poker bill.
Well, there is this broader bill. It's more than just poker.
Because he wanted a couple extra provisions in it, but the legislature seems likely to give those provisions. And
he was just in the news today, actually, saying, I'm ready to sign the bill if they just put a 10-year trial period on it. And, of course, he wants a bigger piece of the pie. No pun intended, but they want more tax revenue from the online gambling.
And it appears the legislature is willing to give him this.
Yes. So that can be happening very, very soon. I mean, he said he'd sign it probably the same day that they put it through.
Yes, he did. And so now the Nevada legislature is laughing at Governor Christie for being a little bit too slow on this, which I suppose is good for him. He's usually, they laugh at him because of his weight. But so this is actually good news, I suppose. Now, resort fees. A lot of casinos charge resort fees. And what this usually goes for is when you pay the resort fee, you get perhaps free internet service or use of the spa or something.
Yeah.
But these are mandatory resort fees at many places, although comped players frequently don't have to pay them. Now, the Harrah's Properties, now known as Caesars, has advertised for a couple years now that there's no resort fees at Harrah's Properties, and so that somehow makes them better. Now, apparently they're going to change this.
Right. They're adding resort fees. And at the same time, MGM is announcing that they're going to have free internet. Finally. I mean, Las Vegas is the only town that I travel to ever where you have to pay for internet in a hotel. So finally, the MGM properties are going to be giving away. And Caesars is announcing that they're going to start charging you more. So I just think it's really a mistake. I mean, I know that Caesars is in money trouble, but I think it's a mistake on their part.
a PR problem anyway. Now, I'll be at a Caesars property tomorrow playing on a promotion, but I'm a comp guest. I'm assuming the resort fee is waived. If not, I'll rant about it a little bit next week.
Yeah, rant about it a lot. Actually, and I have to say, I find it particularly galling when they charge you a resort fee and it does not include internet, like the Tuscany. if I could just throw a stick at them tonight.
Okay, you can do a bigger rant than that if you want. All right, let's talk to Peter Liston. Peter Liston discovered the profitability of progressive slot machines in the mid-1990s in Australia. Since then, he has played these slots all over the world, profiting more than $1 million in the process, although I assume that's Australian dollars and I don't know the conversion rate. Peter's book is called Million Dollar Slots. Peter Liston, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you very much, Bob and Richard. Or should I say g'day?
G'day. All right. Now, first of all, what kind of slot machines are beatable by knowledgeable players and what kind are not?
Okay, the ones that aren't, if you have a slot machine that's not linked to a jackpot, it's not beatable. If it's linked to a jackpot and the jackpot is fixed, it's not beatable. If the slot machine is linked to a progressive jackpot, then it's beatable. And how beatable it is depends on the type of jackpot and the increment that goes into the jackpot. By increment, I mean the percentage of turnover that goes into the jackpot. The type of jackpot, I believe there's three types of jackpots that are the main types. There's a mystery progressive jackpot that has a range that must go up before it reaches the end of the range. There's a straight progressive jackpot where you have to get, for example, 3 megabucks to win the megabuck jackpot. And there's a bonus round progressive jackpot where you have to select, when the bonus round comes up, you select a particular item, and how correct your selection is will depend on the size of the jackpot that you win. So look, if you want to beat the slots, look for progressive jackpots and learn how to differentiate between the three types of jackpots.
And this applies not just to slot machines, traditional slot machines, but also games like video poker, Keno.
Absolutely true. I've won money on the Keno and the video poker as well. So progressive jackpots can be applied to your test lotto draws and things like that. So understanding how progressive jackpots wins is a big advantage.
Yeah, of course. So let's talk in a nutshell about how you determine the odds of winning the jackpot.
Okay, how to determine the odds of winning the jackpot will vary according to the three different types of jackpots. Now, if it's a mystery jackpot might have a range, say, $9,000 to $10,000. So when the mystery jackpot has to go up before it reaches the end of the range. So the closer that mystery jackpot gets to the end of the range, the better the odds are for you and the closer it's getting to be a playable situation. For a straight progressive jackpot, for example, a megabucks, the clue to beating a megabucks jackpot is when the jackpot is maybe four or five times above its reset value. For example, I think the mega jackpots, megabucks jackpots reset at $7 million. When it gets up around the $30 to $35 million mark, it might be interesting. So that's the clue to the...
Well, that would be true on a traditional progressive. Megabucks has some things attached to it that
yep.
make it a really awful machine to play.
True. Yep.
One being that you have to take the payout over 20 or 25 years. I don't believe it'll carry over to an heir, so if you die, you just lose the money.
It's pretty horrible.
It's pretty horrible. And
there's interesting tax implications to it.
Even worse.
Right. So, but if we could just look at each reel, there are three reels on the Megabucks, right? And each reel can hit 360 different?
368, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 360. So Basically, that's 360 cubed. It's about 1 in 50 million.
50 million, yeah.
So obviously, you're not going to go try to play a slot machine that's a 1 in 50 million event. So
you do get some money back. You do get some small pays. So on a megabucks, you might get a 78% return.
So 78, that, wow.
78% return because a fair bit of that goes into the jackpot as well.
Right, okay.
So you're probably looking at a net cost of about $33 million. Now, that's beyond my budget, and it's beyond Bob's and probably beyond yours, but
right.
We can bind our resources. We might have a crack at it.
But
it's currently at $11 million. We might have a while to wait.
Right. And sometime we can also talk about the curse of the megabucks jackpot as well. People who win it have come to bad ends. But anyway, that's a jackpot that if you sat down and played it would take years to actually hit. So how many what kind of event are we looking at that's a more practical on a straight progressive machine, a one in what chance are we looking at that?
The unfortunate thing about a straight progressive jackpot is that there's no certainty it's going to go off, unlike a mystery progressive jackpot. The smaller the jackpot, of course, the less time it's going to take. I have played a jackpot in Melbourne. It was had a 50,000 jackpot, and the casino had closed down a couple of other jackpots and added them to this jackpot. So the jackpot was worth $130,000 plus a trip around the world, which I thought sounded pretty good. So I mapped the reels. Now, this is back in the early days, and I was pretty ignorant, so it took a while to do this, but I mapped the reels. There were 22 items on each reel, so I worked it out that the odds were 500,000 to one at 10 cents a shot. Sorry, five million to one at 10 cents a shot. I was going to turn over $500,000 to win the jackpot.
But how many hours of play should it take to hit that?
Okay, now I was looking at about 2 to 3 weeks play, but my expected cost was about $70,000. The jackpot was $150,000. Each machine was worth about $80 an hour. I could play about four machines at a time. I had an auntie with me playing four machines at a time. We're coming at a night time when no one else was around, so we had about a 3% chance of getting the jackpot each day. Now, I was rather fortunate that I knocked it off after about 4 days. It cost me $16,000. The thing is, I should not have played that particular jackpot. The reason I shouldn't have played it was I hadn't heard about a thing called a virtual reel. So it's you're wasting your time to map a reel on a machine.
Because the positions do not have to be equally likely.
That's right. In fact, there were three items on that reel that actually would come up twice as often. So the true odds were 25 to the power of 5. And the expected cost was $140,000 to win a $130,000 jackpot. So
I can do that math. Don't play.
Right. So now how do you, if you can't map a virtual reel, how do you find out what the odds are?
Okay. What I would do now is I would observe somebody playing a particular machine, and I'd count the number of spins, and I count the number of times that the winning symbol came up on each reel. So you might find that on the first reel, the winning symbol might come up once in every 200 times. On the second reel, once in every 300 times. And on the third reel, say, once in every 150 times. If you multiply that through, you get the odds of the winning the jackpot.
How many spins do you need to observe to have confidence in that?
Look, I would do maybe 1,000 or 2,000. If I'm relatively confident that it's over the odds, I then sit down and start playing, and I would continue to monitor. As I'm monitoring, I'm going to get a closer and closer approximation. So if I find that as I'm monitoring, it's actually worse, I'll get off the machine. I've done that before too.
But what about, I mean, don't you need to know how often all the symbols hit so you can calculate what the return is from all the smaller pays?
Not really. I make an estimate of how much I'm going to lose. I can estimate how much goes into the jackpot, like for maybe 5% it's allowed to the jackpot. Also, you can get an idea where you are, what type of venue you're at, how much on average you're going to lose on the machine. So you might say that you might estimate you're going to lose 15% on the machine. As you're going through and working through this, you might find that you're losing 17 or 18% on a machine. So you might have to redo your calculations and see if you're still above the odds.
What do you have kind of benchmarks that you expect Vegas machines are holding?
In terms of losses?
Yeah, in terms of what you're, what they're holding.
Yeah, that's pretty well known with your... I used to get a copy of your Strictly Slots, and the back of that, of course, they had the loss rates for the machines here.
Yeah, but they were for the casino as a whole. And if you're playing penny slots, it might will have a different rate than quarter slots. It'll have a different rate than dollar slots. Yep. But Strictly Slots just grouped them all together, including video poker, in the same numbers. So was that... And it was usually for an area like downtown Las Vegas or Las Vegas Strip. Is that useful?
Look, if it's a 1 cent or a 5 cent, you'll add a 1 or 2% for your loss rate. If you're playing a dollar machine or a $5 machine, it's probably 1 or 2% less on your loss rate. In my state of Victoria, in Australia, you could actually press a button and it will tell you what percentage the machine will return to you.
Australia is so much more civilized about these things.
Yeah, can you get that button installed on these machines before you leave?
I used to do a lot of online gambling, and the online casinos that were based in Australia would tell you exactly what the hold was for every single game. You could look, and it would, tell you exactly what it was. So, yeah, I wish they would do that here.
I think the less information that's available to the public, the better off for people like you and Bob.
I see, because the competition will get so
that,
much.
That is all true.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Now, Keno progressives would... now, in Keno, the odds of figuring each amount are not that difficult to calculate if you know a little bit about combinations. If the math is above you, the Wizard of Odds website has the chance of getting 8 out of 8, 7 out of 8, 6 out of 8, 5 out of 8, etc. And so you can just determine what you're going to do. Now, Keno jackpots, with progressive Keno jackpots, would be within what you do.
Yes.
So we have them here. So... in general, going through a lot of math does not make for good radio, but in general, can you tell us how you would calculate a Keno, what number to sit down at a Keno machine?
Okay. What I do is I work out how much it's going to cost me on average to get that particular Keno. Now, it might be 6 out of 6, 7 out of 7, or 8 out of 8. So the first thing I do is work out what the odds of getting a 6 out of 6 are, or a 7 out of 7. Now, the odds of a 6 out of 6 are 7,750 to 1. Now, if it's costing me a dollar a spin, I'm going to turn over $7,750 to go one cycle to win that jackpot.
And one cycle gives you a 68% chance of getting it, or something like
something
that.
Something like that. I thought it was about 63%, but anyway. Now, you take off the small wins, of course. So... in this particular example, I think my small wins were about 84%. So my cost of that particular 6 out of 6 jackpot was $1,241. Now, I would wait for it to get up to about $1,700 before I played it. I want to give you an example. In Perth in Australia, they had 6 out of 6, 7 out of 7, 8 out of 8, 9 out of 9, and 10 out of 10. Now, the odds of getting a 9 out of 9... Keno jackpot are about 1.3 million to 1. Now, have you ever tried to press a button 1.3 million times?
Well, but can't you put in multiple combinations of a 9 spot?
No.
Oh, you can't? Oh, because I think here you can.
Okay, no. The machines at best would play about 13 spins a minute.
Oh.
So it's a case of getting a team of about 8 players there. You always leave a couple of machines for the public, because you don't want them complaining they can't get a machine. So you're looking at a 3-week exercise, 24 hours a day, because you don't want, while you're doing this, you don't want to have somebody else grab your machines. So 24 hours a day and for 3 weeks. 1.3 million to one odds, expected cost $150,000, and I didn't play this till it got to 300,000. So in Perth, we have plenty of margin to play with. Now, the beautiful thing about that particular example was instead of taking 1.3 million spins, I got it in 2 hours. And I set these three players up. I gave them money to play. It was coins at that time, so they put the coins in. I went back to the motel to have a bit of a nap, so I had to supervise them 24 hours a day. And 2 hours later, I got a phone call to say that they won the jackpot. Now, I've got a guy there who I don't hardly know. He's off the street, unemployed, bum hanging out of his pants. He's just about ready to get a check for $300,000. So if you think I didn't hightail it back from the motel to the casino, I got there in a real sweat.
You know, it's amazing how much trust we put in people for these gambling ventures. And actually, for the most part, they work out. I mean, yeah, occasionally people steal some money, but...
Occasionally?
Yeah, but...
You could build quite a mansion with the amount of money that's been slipped out of my hands.
Frank Nealon was a former co-host of this show. He wrote a book called The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives. For someone trying to learn how to figure out how to determine the correct strike number for a slot progressive, does Frank's book have any useful information in it?
Yeah, look, I love Frank's book. Frank has managed video poker teams, and I've managed slot teams. So it's terrific to actually read something from somebody else who's done what you've done that nobody else does. So this was fantastic. Frank's mathematics is spot on. He does mention the slots, and everything he says about the slots is spot on as well. So his mathematics are correct, and it's a great read, a very funny book. And it's very, very unusual to find a mathematician with a sense of humor like that.
He does have a great mathematician. It is not easy math, but it is accurate, as near as I could tell. And I'm glad to hear that from somewhere else. Should you want this book, Gambler's Book Club would be a good place for it. But you can get it online at progressivevp.com.
Right,
you know, I have to tell you, I had a couple of friends actually who, you know, did this for a living back 25 years ago, so they recruited me for some of their plays, and I have to say it was the most god-awful, boring, worst form of gambling I've ever done in my life. Now, back then you had to feed the coins in by hand and pull a handle, but still, I mean, just how do you not get bored out of your mind doing these?
It is probably the most boring thing you can possibly do.
Do you ever read while you're playing? Just push the button and bring your Kindle? Or
no, I think when you do this, it's important to blend in with other players, because some venues don't like professionals coming in and taking the cream. What happens is if you do this often enough, the regular players see you come in, jackpot's high, they can't get a seat, they get upset, they complain to management. Their management either get rid of you or get rid of the jackpots. So when you come in, what I try to do is look at the other players and try and look as much like them as I can. So when I walk into a venue, I usually develop a limp. I go up to the bar, order a light beer, maybe sit down, play on another bank of machines that's not linked to a progressive jackpot, and just so that I can have an idiot sign on the top of my head. And then I wander over to the bank of machines that I want to play. When I play, I try and look as interested as I possibly can at at each spin, like the other people do. I certainly don't read a book, but I do try and blend in. But
So slot players get heat and get barred just like blackjack and every other type of player?
I'd say in my state, I'd say about 10% of venues would bar the advantage players.
Here in Las Vegas, it was quite common. I mean, I always found it mind-boggling that they would throw out people for playing slot machines, but it was very common here in Vegas.
I think if you get thrown out, what's important is just leave. Now, a lot of the other advantage players put on a big scene. In one particular venue, I was thrown out. I walked up, politely walked out. I came back a month later, and the same manager who threw me out when I walked in, I couldn't find a machine, so he forgot that he'd thrown me out, and he actually found a machine for me. So I think that's important.
I agree. If you get thrown out, leave immediately. Don't try to argue. Don't try to talk them out of it. You're never going to convince them. So just, yeah. Yep. Now, try not to be remembered.
Here, expert video poker players sometimes play slot machines to disguise their expertise at video poker. Do professional slot players ever play video poker to disguise their expertise?
No. You don't have to be as smart to be a slot professional as to be a video poker professional. Now, I've played video poker in the earlier days. My accuracy is nowhere near as good as yours.
I wish I could play as good as Bob Dancer is supposed to play. People think Bob Dancer walks on water when it comes to playing a video. I wish I could play near that good, but go on.
Well, the break even on the video poker, when the jackpot reached about 12,500, my players weren't all that accurate, but I was the worst. So they'd started about 15,000, and I'd started about 16,000. So we had enough room there for errors. And of course, by the time the jackpot went off, it'd normally go up another $4,000. So we had a bit of meat there to play with, but we lost a lot of money through inaccuracy, a lot of money.
Hmm. So your book makes it pretty clear. It sounds like, and for people who haven't read his book, there's a review of it on my site, and you can order it at Amazon. They have it. And it sounds like conditions were much, much better in Australia. But now you're back here in Las Vegas. In the book, your last trip here was 2005. How are conditions good in Las Vegas now, or in the States now, for this?
Look, I've only just arrived yesterday. I'm staying at the M Resort, and I had a quick look through the M Resort. There's 18 standalone mystery progressive jackpots there. They're all beatable. There was one guy who was playing one of the jackpots that had got to the hit point, and he seemed to know what he was doing. I haven't had a chance to look around, but...
He seemed to know what he was doing? What does that mean?
Well, the jackpot had passed the hit point, okay. and instead of betting a normal 30 cents or whatever, he was betting $1.50, so that suggested to me that he wasn't going to waste his time. If you're betting 30 cents, they're going to take 5 or 6 hours to get up there, so... The more you bet, the quicker you're going to get it over and done with.
But if this was an individual machine, it wouldn't matter, right?
No percentage advantage, but, I mean, time is money. If you're a professional, you don't want to sit around and bet 30 cents and spend 6 hours on something that could take you 1 hour.
No, but why was he betting 30 cents? Only
no,
his...
No, he was betting $1.50, which suggested to me that he was probably knew what he was doing.
I see.
But just to get back to... opportunities. Your opportunities tend to be in the places that are off the beaten track. So you're more likely to find opportunities in the suburbs of Vegas than in Vegas. You're more likely to find opportunities in
Peoria, Illinois,
Manila instead of Singapore. If you go to Macau, in the JLA, Macau Slot Club, more so than the big places. The best place of all to find beatable slots is New Zealand. In New Zealand, in the Sky City Casino in Auckland, the casino put in about up to 5% into mystery progressive slots. Now, what that means, they have an $18,000 to $20,000 jackpot there. It may not be there now, but it was certainly some years ago. Now, 5% going to that means an increment of 0.5%. That means that the break-even on that jackpot is $19,500. So visualise a range of $18,000 to $20,000. Its break-even is $19,500. It goes off on average once a day. Every 4 days it's playable. It means it's playable 90 times a year. And when a $20,000 mystery progressive jackpot is playable, the expected profit is half the jackpot amount, which is $10,000. I'll just say that again. When you play a mystery progressive jackpot, the expected profit from the optimal hit point is half the jackpot amount. So on that one jackpot alone in New Zealand, you're looking at an expected profit of $900,000 a year.
Assuming...
Why are you here?
We'll come to that, I think.
Okay.
There's competition.
Yes, there is competition.
So that has to lower. So does each player have this $10,000 expectation? That can't be right.
That's a total expectation in the banker machine. So if there's, for example, if there's 10 machines linked to that banker machine, and you're at the strike point, and everybody's playing the same credits, then each machine is worth $1,000. And the silly part is...
And it should take how many hours to hit?
That particular one, from memory, might take about 4 hours to hit. But the downside of that was because we had some serious competition, there was serious competition for seats. So I had a team, and there was another team there as well had a team. And with 10 machines, I'd have three players, he'd have three. I'd have four, he'd have four. I'd have five, he'd have five. We finished up that when the jackpot got to about $19,300, about $200 short of its hit point, we'd have everybody sitting on the machines ready to play, would have got to $19,500, and no one touching a machine.
So it's going to take a long time to get to $19,500 if nobody's playing it.
I've actually had workers sitting on that for 24 hours waiting for it to get up. Because the more professionals get on there, the slower it's going to go.
What happened here in Las Vegas was people started getting on at lower numbers, right? So you wanted to get on where each machine was worth 1,000. They started getting on at 900, and then 800, and then 500. And then one of the biggest team basically decided, well, I'll just starve everybody out. So he would get on at break even. And after weeks of teams not ever being able to get a seat to play, his strategy was, well, they'll just quit and start doing something else, which many of them did.
Yeah. Well, in Australia, some people do get on at break-even, but they do that out of ignorance. Hmm. A lot of people don't really know how to work out the correct break-even on these things. So a lot of monkey see, monkey do, and... A lot of people say, well, look, last time I waited for the jackpot to get up to a certain amount, of, and it went off before. So this time I'll try it a bit earlier. They try it earlier and it goes late, they lose money, they try it later.
I see. Yeah.
Now, changing subjects a little bit. A few months ago on the show, we had surveillance expert Willie Allison. Now, every year in February... Willie hosts a conference for people who work for surveillance. This year it happens that one of the featured speakers is going to be a man named Peter Liston. Now, can you tell us what a progressive slot player has to tell surveillance folks?
Well, my experience of surveillance staff is that they're fairly cluey customers.
They're what?
Fairly cluey.
Cluey.
Smart.
Good. Okay.
Sorry.
The opposite of the U.S., okay.
The opposite of clueless. Cluey. Okay.
And some of them, when they do have time off or go overseas, can be very good professional players. Now, I have to decide when I'm talking to them, do I talk to them as, excuse me, as potential professional players, or do I talk to them as faithful casino staff? So I decided on the potential professional players more than the other. Now, with progressive jackpots, what I guess you need to know is that when you play a progressive jackpot, you're not cheating the casino. The money in the progressive jackpot belongs to the players. All you're doing is that when the progressive jackpot is nice and creamy, you're taking the cream and denying that to the regular players. So some casinos...
Which generally speaking, casinos don't like. They want their regular Joe to get it because he's going to come back and give it back to him tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Whereas you're going to take that money and go somewhere else.
Being a professional gambler, I just had a think about this, and it's one of those few professions where you can make an income and not provide a service.
That's true. I'm
trying to think of any other career that does that.
Hedge fund manager. I guess you're providing a service to the people who invest in your fund. But
and they're
a lot of the financial service industry, though, is really providing nothing to anyone.
Yeah, true.
And the hedge fund managers are definitely gamblers.
Yes. Yeah.
That is gambling. Slot play, professional slot play, is not gambling.
Well, I hope when you talk to these guys, you make them realize that they shouldn't be throwing these people out. It is possible for there to be a player who is both good for the casino, because when you play, they are getting their 12% or whatever of every dollar you put through the machine. Yeah. And the money you're winning is money they already have to give away. So
this is particularly true with straight progressive jackpots. Now, when we play this $300,000 jackpots in Perth, what we do in a few weeks would take the local punters months and months and months to get the jackpot up to where we get it up to. So some jackpots, for some jackpots, it's actually worth the casino's while to have syndicate players in.
You've played all over the world. Well, in many places all over the world. Do you ever have security problems where you're afraid for your life or your money or your something?
Yes. The best place in the world to play progressive jackpots is New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. And because of that reason, that was the reason why myself and my team had death threats there. We arrived a little bit late. There was a team that was set up, and it was a team of Chinese people with their extended family. And when we arrived, I assumed that I'd be the only person there who knew how to exploit the place. And I came over with my team, and when the other syndicate realised what we were doing, when we went head-to-head on a few jackpots that they had the pleasure of winning on their own, they didn't like it. So
go figure.
The head of that syndicate, his English wasn't all that good, but in his own way, he made us aware that our health would be a lot better if we left very quickly. So that's one. We did stay, but I was frightened, and it's one of the reasons why I left that place.
Do you report that to police? Do you?
Yes.
To the security? To the casino?
Yeah. When a person makes a threat to you, this is probably worth knowing. If a person makes a threat to you, you need to have two people hear the threat. If you go to the police and you're the only person who's heard it, then they can't do anything because it can't be corroborated. I gave my workers tape recorders so that they could tape record when the threats were made.
So now a tape recorder is on most smartphones.
Yep.
And so if you have a smartphone.
Yep.
Now, I'm not sure the law is the same in Australia or New Zealand as it is here, but generally speaking, I'll ask you to turn off your phone before I make a threat against
before
your
I
life.
Threaten you.
All righty. So stick around, Peter. We're going to do some commercials. And we have a couple more questions for you in case, depending on how much time it takes.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right. Munch, what did we learn tonight?
Well, I had no idea these mystery jackpot machines even existed. It's funny. I'm a big proponent of scouting every game in the casino, but I certainly have been guilty of not scouting the slots at all. So I think, you know, I will walk through casinos differently than I have in the past. Although, when I think back about what it's like to play slots, I don't know if I will be able to bring myself to do it, but maybe.
Well, I do play slots, but I do play progressive slots, primarily for disguise. But
it's got to look good on your player's card to play slots.
Well, it depends. If they already know I'm Bob Dancer, no matter what my driver's license says, then I don't know how much good disguise does.
Yeah.
But at Palms, they on their drawings, they give an exceptionally high number of drawing tickets, virtual drawing tickets for slot players, and a low number for video poker players. So it can be worthwhile to play slots. And we're actually, the three of us are going out to dinner tonight, and there are some must-hit-buy slots in that casino, and we will say,
We'll look at that. Walk by them. Yeah.
Look at that. And I don't know if that will. We might lose Peter, who decides to play rather than to have dinner with us. But we shall see. Okay. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else. The free video poker class this coming Tuesday will be Double Double Bonus Ultimate X. I'll be teaching a single strategy for that game that returns about 99.80%. So this makes it a positive play 24/7 because they have a 0.30 slot club. And on a double point day, it is by far the highest returning game in the casino. This is a 10 coin per line game that exists at the South Point for quarter 10 play, which means $25 a play. At the Palm, the same game is found for 50 cent 10 play. At the Palms, the Friday and Saturday night drawings in February, ending this weekend, is called the $80,000 Golden Statue drawings, where the Golden Statue is relates to the Oscars. The time for the drawings is 8 p.m. every Friday and Saturday. There'll be 10 winners every night. Top prize is $3,000, bottom prize $250. The double point days in February will end today. It's Thursday, and so until midnight, there's double drawing tickets days. It's not double points, it's double drawing tickets. You will also earn three times drawing tickets Friday night between 8 and midnight, that which would be good for the Saturday drawing. I do not have the rules yet for the March drawing. It wouldn't surprise me that beginning 8 o'clock this Saturday, you will have be able to earn three times drawing tickets for the March drawing, but I don't know for sure. Between now and March 10th, they are having a bingo promotion on both video poker and slot machines, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. This isn't actually bingo, but it's a 5x5 card where you mark off squares for getting various hands. Like in video poker, a specific four of a kind, number of points in a day, a royal flush, stuff like that. The most lucrative card percentage-wise is the one for 25 cent video poker, which add almost 1% to the EV for or 0.5% for 50 cent games. Multi-line games are limited to triple play and five play. Among many players, quarter 10 plays used to be the most popular game in the casino. Now everybody's playing quarter five play. If you're playing that game, the most intelligent way to play it is to play for a 6,000 coin royal rather than a 4,000 coin royal. If you happen to hit the royal flush before you hit other things on your card, then you revert to the 4,000 coin strategy. But until then, you play at a 6,000 coin strategy. The PEW, Play, Earn, and Win, for the second half of the month, has a theme as seen at the Palms. Gifts include a robo sweeper, security light, sliding casters for the furniture, and other gifts. At videopoker.com, the monthly contest will be 5 days between February 24th and February 28th. The game this month will be Ultimate X. Ultimate X is a 10 coin per line game where you earn multipliers for each hand. Double double bonus, for example, full house earns you a multiplier of 12 for the next hand. A flush earns a multiplier of 10 for the next hand. Straight earns a multiplier of 8 for the next hand. Now I'm going to be teaching that game next Tuesday, which is going to be halfway through this contest. But the class won't do you any particular good in the contest. To win the contest on videopoker.com, you need to be dealt good hands. And if I knew how to get good hands dealt, I'd be a lot richer than I am now. since it's a free contest, there's a lot of people playing it, and so being dealt good hands is the secret. Next week, our guest will be former MIT Blackjack team member Mike Ponte. What do you know about Mike Munchkin?
First of all, he's a great guy. He, was part of the MIT team. Now he trains people how to learn how to count cards. If you read the book, The Blackjack Life, he was
that in... Was Nathaniel Tilton's book?
Nathaniel Tilton's book, right. He was instrumental to those guys in their success. And so we'll talk to him a lot more about what... I know he's also tried to get into the entertainment business. He's pitched some television shows and some movie ideas.
Yeah, he's living in Southern California now, I think. All right, now in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking to Lawrence Scott, a man who makes money tracking roulette wheels. Does this subject fascinate you much?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. So, yes, Lawrence Scott has written the only book that I'm aware of on how to visually track roulette and beat roulette by just your eye. And I know this sounds a lot like dice control with Wong. But his method is extremely difficult. But I'm a believer.
Now, we had Mark Billis on recently.
Mark Billings, yes.
Mark Billings, thank you. Now, he wrote a book on roulette, but Lawrence Scott's way is different.
It is different, yeah. Mark, they are close friends and partners, by the way. And Mark's book is about bias roulette wheels, and Lawrence's book is about tracking the ball and the speed of the wheel with your eye, and predicting where the ball's going to land.
Uh huh. That's interesting.
Should be an interesting show.
Yeah, and in 3 weeks we're going to have Barry Meadow. Who is a man? He's actually he's a horse racing guy, but about 15 years ago, he spent 2 months with the goal of playing blackjack in every casino in Nevada that he could.
Yes, and, quite an entertaining book, Blackjack Autumn, it's called.
And so we're going to be talking to Barry Meadow about Blackjack Autumn. All right. We have 2 minutes, so that leaves us one more time, one more question for Peter. Now, how do most of our listeners live in the United States? How are progressive slots different here than they are elsewhere?
Look, there's three types of progressive jackpots. There's the mystery, the straight progressive, and the bonus round progressive. The only real difference is that you probably have a greater proportion of mystery progressive jackpots in some parts of the world and less so in the United States. So the jackpots are a little bit harder to find here. They can be found. You can make money. But if you want to make money, there's two things you've got to do. One is look up.
Look up at
the jackpots above the machines. And the second thing you've got to do is look out. Get out there and search, dig. Go into the small places. Go into the little, when you travel around, go into the little casinos and look for things that other people don't see.
Do you play any of these machines where it builds up a small jackpot and people sometimes walk away from them and leave the buildup? You know, like there was one called Diamond Mine, I think, or
Picky
Cherry
Banking.
Pie. And...
Yeah, we used to play, though. We had some that gave you, after five items would come up, you get a free game or five free games. Those sort of things we used to play, but there's not that many of those things around in Australia.
All right, we have 10 seconds to go. Thank you, Peter Liston. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.